sad day we live in today, do we not? As we think of all the things that happen in the world, how sad it is. And yet, how sad it is if we just cast our eyes on the church and think of the things that happen today. To think of the weakness that there is, to think of the departure from the word that has been taught over the so many years, to think of the laxity that there is today, and to think of the weakness that there is. And as we think of these things, how saddened we are if we have any thought at all for the people of the Lord. Now, I would say that this need not be so. I feel that God hasn't changed, has he? And never have I seen anywhere in the Word of God that that power that was given in the Acts of the Apostles in that time, that power has been taken back. It's never been taken back. We see that that power was given, and as I see it given, I don't see anywhere that it's taken back, neither that we should ask for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But I would say that in the place where there is that departure from the world today, in that place where there's the weakness and so many sad things that are happening, I feel that these things could be changed in the day in which we are. Now, don't think for a moment I have in mind that there's going to be a great return to the Lord before his coming. There's going to be a great revival and everybody's going to turn to him. No, it's not going to be so. And neither does the Word of God assure us that when a testimony is broken, that it's fully restored again. But there could be a little refreshing in this time before the coming of the Lord. As we think of the day when Gideon lived, and as we think of the sad time and his word concerning the miracles, there were little times of refreshing that followed, were there not? And I would say it was because of going back and not going forward. There's so much said today with regard to us moving on and moving forward, but I think that the blessing of the Lord is when we go back and don't go forward, when we go back to first things. And I would say that in turning to these two chapters that I've read tonight, firstly in the 40th chapter of Ezekiel, and then the 47th, we have something that we ought to turn to and go back to. We ought to rethink these things that are in the scripture, and it ought to be with regard to them. We take more notice of what's there. Now, we must start not at the 47th chapter, however precious that is, but we must start at the 40th chapter, because that begins with the hand of the Lord. Now, this man, as he spoke, he's able to tell us, even from the third verse of the first chapter, that the hand of the Lord was upon him. And in so many places in the book of Ezekiel, the hand of the Lord is upon him. And I understand that his name means the Lord will strengthen. And if the hand of the Lord is on a person, no doubt he will be strengthened of the Lord. But there's one thing about him, as I see on every occasion that the hand of the Lord is upon him, that he's a submissive person to the hand of the Lord. And that's where we need to get back to firstly. To have our wills submitted to him in such a way that he's able to speak to us and work with us in such a way that we're more suitable to him. The hand of the Lord was upon this man, Ezekiel, at this moment, and as being on him, it says concerning him, that he led him to a man. Led him to a man that was going to instruct him, and instruct him not only here, but in many places, but for us tonight, he'd instruct him here, and then again in the 47th chapter. Now I want you to think of the fact that he's led to this man to listen to him, to take notice of him, and then he would receive a blessing because of this. Now, very often today we do have a man before us, don't we? You have tonight in all his weakness. And so often, as we gather together, there are so many occasions that we gather together, there is one that's before us. And a little doubt it is that with regard to the Lord has put words into his lips, into his mouth, and into his heart in such a way that that which he says, although spoken in weakness, is from the Lord and is necessary for those that hear it. Now, what's the reaction today? So often, as we hear the word that's spoken, there are two things that we can say with regard to it. It was a good word tonight. Or on the other hand, I didn't really enjoy it tonight. We don't come together to be entertained by the word of God. It is that I think we've got to the stage that we come so that we might be entertained, and the word of God is never going to entertain a soul. As I look at the words here that were spoken, this man was to take full, Ezekiel was to take full notice of the lessons that this one would give, and in turn he would be instructed by God, and we come together to be instructed by him and not to be entertained. I think that we need to see that today. Yes, we go to some meeting, we had a good meeting. We weren't impressed. No, but the word of God is so that it should affect my heart. It says concerning the man here that spoke to Ezekiel, son of man, see with thine eyes. Well, that's the first necessary thing, that their eyes should be occupied. And when Boaz said to Ruth concerning herself, he said, let thine eyes be on the field. Why would it be that the eyes are mentioned here first? Because you can be occupied in your heart and in your mind with many things, but if your eyes wander, you're soon not occupied with those things. You're occupied with things elsewhere, and it is here said firstly, let your eyes, behold with your eyes, let your eyes be on these things. Now that's necessary, because if our eyes are there, and then our ears follow, and then our heart, there will be something that we shall see, something that we shall hear, and something that will react with regard to our feeling, a spiritual feeling, as before the Lord. So it's our eyes first. And let's remember that with regard to our meetings, our eyes should be centered on the meetings where we go. It's very nice to go and hear others that speak, but let us be occupied with the place where the Lord has shown us to gather, and being found there, and let our ears be open to what he said. He said, let your ears be opened. Let it be that as you look upon that which I'm going to show you, that as well you listen to what is spoken about. Now, I can imagine when I was younger, there were many meetings that I went to and I didn't listen to what was spoken about. It didn't sink in as we grow older. Perhaps that should be. It should be in our youth. And when I think of it, as our eyes are on that which is going to be enacted before us, let our ears be opened. Let our ears be opened so that we fully take notice of what's going to be said. And then in time, as we see and as we hear, let our hearts be open to the word that we hear, so that there might be the action in ourselves that can be blessed of the Lord. Now, if we get as far as that, we can turn to that 47th chapter that's been read to you tonight. And there we see at the beginning of the chapter that this same man gives a lesson again to Ezekiel. And there we see that there's waters issuing from the sanctuary. Now, I want you to think of the fact that we take little notice of water in our country. Sometimes the farmer says he has too much, and sometimes we think we have too much, but we must leave it with the one that sends it. But here in the eastern country, here mentioned, if there are springs, there is fertility, isn't there? Because when we think of the dry and arid climate, where there are springs, there's the fertility. Where there are no springs, there's the barrenness. And as we think the barrenness, how sad it is where there are barren places. But as I read that verse or two in the Gospel of John this evening, we see that the one that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and came to him, out of his inward parts would flow rivers of living water. That's what we want to know something about tonight, the resources that come and are spoken about in this chapter. This spake he of the Spirit. And as I think of the teaching with regard to the Spirit of God, let's rethink and relook into this story and read from it from the 47th chapter tonight with regard to it. Now, in the beginning, we see that firstly it says that waters issued from the foundation or beneath the sanctuary. That's where the waters came from. That's where all the waters came from the foundation there, from the foundation of the sanctuary. All of them, and I'm going to stress that perhaps many times tonight, all of them issued from the foundation, from that place. That was God's sanctuary, and therefore all the waters that speak of our resources came and do come from him. There's nothing apart from him. And when I look at this scripture, it says concerning these waters, they issued out and they came down on the south side of the altar. Now, there's so many details here that will give us to understand something about this. And as I think of those waters coming down, issuing and coming down from the south side of the altar, it reminds me very much concerning the sacrificial work of our Lord Jesus Christ. When I think of him in love and in grace, being found here, dying on the cross of Calvary, and then in grace as he ascends on high, dropping his mantle, I think of the very fact that, yes, the south side is our side. How he has dealt with us in grace, has he not? And as we think of him dealing with us in grace with regard to our salvation, the altar speaking of his salvation, how he's dealt with us in grace in sending that one that he spoke of as another comforter, one who would guide them into all truth. But as I think of him in the many ways, there's so much concerning the Spirit of God, isn't there? But it says that it issues from the south side of the altar, but it says nothing about the north side, and I wonder what the north side really is. Now, if I turn into the 14th chapter of Isaiah, or the 48th Psalm, I would find that the north side is the side of exaltation. When I think of the Lord Jesus Christ going up on high, in his gracious manner, dropping the mantle, I think of him being highly exalted. Turn to those chapters and you'll see north. The north speaks of exaltation, and the north side is his dwelling, isn't it? There he's highly exalted. If we think of it, on the one hand, we can see the side with regard to the Ephesian teaching, where God raises him and highly exalts him, giving him that high place. Or on the other hand, we can look into the Hebrew epistle and find him there taking that place in his own right. But it's his. He's the highly exalted one. And as I think of these things being true concerning him, it says concerning those waters that they issued eastward. And I don't like to put too many thoughts on these things, but I would say when it was that we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and we accepted the Spirit of God was given at that time, when you believed you were sealed by the Holy Spirit, he speaks of a new day, doesn't it? When we think of the East in the Bible, we see how it is a new day, a change. Don't you remember the children of Israel, what it says concerning them? And they journeyed toward the East. First time they journeyed, you know, it was a new day to them. They had said that they had sinned and now they were journeying. And with regard to ourselves, as we think of this, we see also just at this time that as we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and as we have the Spirit of God, it's a new day altogether for us. We are changed creatures. We are a new creation, as the scripture says. Now, this man with Ezekiel, it says concerning him that he measured 4,000 cubits 4,000 cubits, and the waters were waters that could not be passed over, waters to swim. Now, if they now ask the question, where did all those waters come from? Where were they from? Where did they emanate? We don't see that there's any tributaries coming into this river in this time. We see that all those rivers, all those waters of this river came from that one place. They issued from the sanctuary. And again, I must stress here, with regard to the power of the Spirit of God, all our power comes from Him. You know, I have heard it said, and I think it's true with regard to this power, that this power has not been recognized. Yes, there's such a thought that we haven't recognized the power of the Spirit of God. We get so many ideas and thoughts with regard to the work of the Lord today and how much energy has to be expended on it, when we ought to be more occupied with the power of the Spirit of God working with us. And therefore, I would say that the power of the Spirit of God has not been recognized with regard to these things. Yes, the activity of the Spirit of God, we should find, if we turn into those chapters, from the 14th of John to the 16th of John, that the Holy Spirit would have different activities, different kinds of activities with regard to the believer. And yet, so often these things are forgotten by us. And also, I think that with regard to it, there's that authority that the Spirit of God should have over our lives. As I think of this, I think of those that may come to you and speak to you, and they say, well, I'm moving. I think it would suit me to go into this position here or into that position there. But what does the Spirit of God do in this? Does He lead, or is it that I want to go to this place or to that place? Is it that we are led at all by Him? It is that these things should be our leading. As I see the Apostle Paul in the Acts of the Apostles, when he is saved to go to one place, his mind was so attuned by the Spirit that it says, and the Spirit suffered him not, and he didn't go. I'm afraid sometimes we have to retrace steps because we're not attuned to the power of the Spirit, to the voice of the Spirit, and so we do things that perhaps in the end we have to, because of them, retrace our steps. And then, before I leave this thought, I think that we ought to take more notice of the adequacy of the Spirit. The adequacy of the Spirit. There may be today, with regard to service to the Lord, the thought that we somehow or other have to prop up the work of the Spirit of God. It is that we can add this or that to the work of the Spirit, and then it will be perhaps a little bit more plausible and a little bit more that people will take notice of, and then the Spirit will work in the way that He can. I don't think that we find that in the Scripture. When I look at the Scripture, and when I see that those men that went forth were filled with the Spirit, but ignorant and unlearned men, what happened with regard to them? It says that in no time they were turning the world upside down, not because, I don't like to use this word, of gimmicks that they had, not because of other attractions that they would bring in with the Word of God, but by the power of the Spirit alone. It comes to my mind just at this moment that quite away from where I live is a big London overspill. There are hundreds and hundreds of houses, and there's a man there that works in a little mission. With regard to the mission, I saw him a year or two ago and I said, how are you getting on? He said, they're only getting the Word of God and they're being blessed. Not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And as we think here with regard to this, let us remember these things, the authority of the Spirit of God, His activity, and as well His adequacy with regard to that which we do for Him, it's done by Him. Now, as we see this man leading him along the river and coming to this point where he measured the 400 cubits, He takes him back along the river and says, Son of man, hast thou seen this? When he took him back along the river, it gives me to think that because of the continual flow of those waters in that river, there had been growth. And with regard to the power of the Spirit of God working in and through us, it will be with regard to ourselves that there will be growth in our lives. And here, it has quite a startling thing to say with regard to this growth, firstly, because it says that on the one side of the river and on the other side of the river were trees. Trees on this side of the river and trees on the other side of the river. And I would say that if you think of the natural growth that's found in this world, there's nothing greater than the growth of a tree. Not so much in our land, but I would gather that in America, where things are big, that they had trees weighing up to 1,000 tons. And as God would give the picture to this man that here, he would give him the thought of what God would have his people to do, to be, that they might have the greatest growth. He would desire them, as he said concerning them through Peter, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, that should be just what they do. I know that there may be many things to hinder their growth today, and yet there's all that to encourage the growth if they turn to the Word of God. So I see firstly then there were trees on this side and on that side. Also giving me to think with regard to this that there was a balanced growth, because there were trees on this side and trees on that side. That would bring me back to the thought that I had a moment ago when Peter said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. There's a balanced growth there, isn't there? If I began to grow in knowledge apart from growth, what sort of servant for the Lord would I be? If I grew in grace and had no knowledge at all, how helpful would we be the one to another? That's the balance. But you'll notice that the grace is placed first, isn't it? And I feel that that's something that's lacking today. When the apostle had in mind those people where Timothy was at Ephesus, what does he say? Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He'd said just a little previous to that, that those in Ephesus had forsaken him. All those in Asia have forsaken me. But now he's saying, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Not in compromise. Don't let's think of that. As I think of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was here full of grace and truth, it was never that he compromised with regard to the truth, that he was full of grace and truth. But the one thing here first, as to be the balance, firstly, growing in grace. If we grow in grace, then if he was full of grace and truth, certainly we would be taking him as our pattern here. But full of growing grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. How am I going to get the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? How am I going to know anything concerning that? Well, as well, Timothy was told, with regard to the Word of God, to give himself wholly to the Scriptures. And that would mean that in my reading daily, I would not give just a little time when I'm reading that Word, but I meditate upon these things so that with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ, the knowledge of him, I would in time and in turn know more about that blessed person and be able to delight and rejoice in him more as I thought of him in the different facets of his wonderful character. Yes, there were those things, then there was that balanced growth. And then I saw, as I read that word down, that it said that there was that with regard to the tree, his leaf would not fade. If there was one thing that the gardener would not desire with regard to a tree, it is a fading leaf, because he would desire that his tree would be beautiful. You say, are you going to say then that we should be beautiful? Oh, what does the psalmist say with regard to the beauty of the Lord? Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And when I think of Isaiah 53, when it says, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground, how fragrant and how beautiful he was to God his Father as he grew up before him. As I think of it, how wonderful it is to think of him in that way. There would be also that the trees would be for meat. How much sustenance we need, do we not? As we think of the sustenance we need to know this Word of God. We need not only to know something for our Sunday school class or for something we're going to speak about, but we need to feed on the Word of God daily. And then, as I think at the end of these things, I think of the fact that afterwards it says, with regard to the leaves, they would be for bruises, for bruises. How much sorrow and suffering there is among the people of God today, and how much it is necessary that ministry, not of healing as we think, but ministry of healing in another way, so that those bruises, so that those saints that have been bruised may be healed. As we think of these growths, how wonderful they are then. Then I think we ought to come back along that river and come with a man with a measuring line and think of what he says and does. Because I feel that we ought to challenge ourselves with regard to just where we are with regard to our pathway at this moment. It says concerning the man that he took the measuring reed, and as he measured 1,000 cubits, and it says he brought him through and the waters were to the ankles. I mention on each occasion he's brought through, it isn't that he can come to that position of his own strength, he's brought through to where he is, and now he gets to the position where the water is to his ankles. Is there a young believer here tonight who's not known the Lord very long? If the waters are to your ankles, I would say praise the Lord, because the one thing concerning it is this. You're in the right place. You're as God would have you. Your feet are in the waters. So much is said, is there not, as an aside today, of the many years we've been on the pathway, but we don't see any mention of that here. It's not how long we've been a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, but how deep we are with regard to these resources. How deep are we in them? And I would say today it could quite easily be, with regard to ourselves, the waters could only be to the ankles. For a younger saint, I say, praise the Lord. They're in the resources. They'll go on to noble waters to the knees, to the loins, waters to swim in. But if we continue and have continued to this moment, and the waters are only to the ankles, we're showing a lot of self, are we not? Aren't we showing a lot of self when we think of that, the waters to the ankles? It would mean to me, with regard to the prayer meeting, well, it matters very little whether I'm there or not. With regard to the reading meeting, well, I'd rather be at some novel on some novel occasion. The reading meeting, well, it's a place where I can be, but I needn't be there. How am I going to come before the Lord to know his strength if I don't come to the prayer meeting and don't kneel there before the Lord and show him my will and my weakness? How am I going to grow if I'm not ministered to by the people of God? It can easily be, I mention at this moment, that we are those that have the waters to the ankles, and how sad it is if that is so. Yes, but here is the man that has come to instruct Ezekiel, and he would lead him again and measure along, and leading him to 2,000 cubits, it says that the waters were to the knees. How important, how important. We just mentioned a moment or two with regard to praying. I know that it's been said so many times, but you'll hear it again. The devil trembles when he sees the man of God upon his knees, and that's only the only powerhouse we've got of being on our knees before the Lord. Here we see, with regard to the waters now are in contact with the knees speak of my dependence, the waters speak of my power. And if you know of one that's a praying brother or a praying sister, you may depend that one is a person of power before his God or her God, because of the very fact that of being on their knees before him speaks of their dependence. They are dependent upon him, and it is only the one that feels their weaknesses before him that can know something of that power that's at their disposal. It only comes in that way. We must realize that. But yet, here is the man, and he would continue to lead on, and would we say we've got far enough? When I think of this, some people feel that they ought not to get too involved in the things of the Lord. I was spoken to once concerning a son of a man, and his father said, "I don't want you to get too involved in the meetings." And do you know where he is today? He's left his wife and he's living with another woman. Sad it is, a relative of mine. His father didn't desire him to be involved too much in the things of the Lord, and there he is, and you'd know him not from those that live around about him because of his behavior, because of where he is. No, as we look at the story here, it says concerning the son, he desires that he should come on, and as he leads him on to the 3,000 cubits, it says that the waters were to the loins. Now, as I read with regard to the loins, I see in one place that the loins are girt about with truth, speaking of the power of the word in us. But you know, if the word is going to be in power in us, because the loins speak of strength, it's going to be that the word must gird us first. Yes, we must see that lesson. Our loins girded about with the truth means that I've measured myself with that word before I'm willing and ready to minister to that word, give that word forth so that others might be measured by it. Do you remember, as we think of the loins being the seat of strength, do you remember what was said in the Epistle of John with regard to the young men? It says, with regard to them, he wrote to them because they were strong, and the word of God abided in them. What a wonderful company of young people they were. But only a little later on, he speaks to them and says, "Love not the world." They were not in a position that they could say with regard to themselves, "We're so strong now that we can stand." No, let him that thinketh he stands take heed, lest he fall. And with regard to those young men, he warns them with regard to not loving the world. But there's the young men there in a place of strength. And here we see, as he's led on to this place where the waters are to the loins. And what a wonderful place it is to be. When that word has a power in my life, has a power in my life so that I live by that word, and yet, as I think of the word that is before us tonight, I know that here we would be led on farther than that. As I think of this man with his measuring line, now measuring to 4,000 cubits, it says that they were waters that could not be crossed, and they were waters to swim in. As I think of these waters, what a wonderful thing it is to know the resources that we have in our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. There's no lack at all. We mentioned earlier on, there's no lack with regard to the resources that we have. And when I think of these waters here, I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul. When I see that here that there are waters to swim in, he said on one occasion with regard to himself, "To me to live is Christ." And on another occasion he says, "I keep under my body." What does the man do that swims? Waters to swim in. He keeps under his body and only his head is showing. And as I think of the Apostle Paul, who was not fully perfect in his pathway, there was one thing that he would desire to do, to keep under his body and say those words of the truth, "To me to live is Christ." And dear brethren, as we think of these things, don't you think that we've still got resources? Don't you think that if the Apostle Paul, who in himself knew that there was no good thing in his life, no good thing in himself at all, and yet in entire dependence upon the Lord, he can say to me, to live is Christ, don't you think that it's true with regard to ourselves? We have the same resources, and in that which we would desire for him, to do for him, we still have those same resources. Not that they will be used in the power that they have been before the breakdown, but I will say this. If more and more we return to the truths that speak of the power that's in us through our Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God working through us, it will be and can be that there'll be a change in our pathway so that we will be just a little bit more in a revived state when he comes.